This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The dynasty is on in Kansas City. But there was a debate in our break. Sorry, got to bring it to air.
Oh.
You guys know, if you give me something and you put a ball on a tee, I'm going to start swinging. Burgers, donuts is the bun.
Yes.
Some of us on this side over here with CC and Smalls are very in. In Bristol, they almost wanted to take you guys off the show for liking this. Okay, make your case as to why the donut, bun, burger in between is a good meal.
To give a little background,
there
are donuts here at the Seaport today because it's Valentine's Day. Cece and I have both had one. You have not. And we were talking about how great a classic glazed donut is.
Right.
Oh, it's great.
And in St. Louis, at the Gateway Grizzlies, minor league baseball team, they have a menu item that is a hamburger, but the bun, instead of a classic bread bun, is actually a glazed donut. And when I tell you, it is outstanding because you got a little bit of the sweet, you got the savory. Now, listen, you eat that whole thing and you're out for the entire day. Like, don't expect to be doing a lot after that. Your heart rate is going to go up if you eat that thing, but it is delicious.
It's worth the calories, right?
It is.
It is a calorie bomb. It's got to be over 1,000 calories, but it's absolutely worth it, though.
It is.
It sounds amazing.
Okay, so that's one side of it.
There's a complication, though, because you are having a burger. It's on a donut. Like,
CeCe's going to the other side
already.
No condiments.
That's what I'm saying. How do you work that so there's no condiment?
Let me look it up, but I don't think there's any
condiment. What's the lubricant that you use with the food?
I don't know. Let's get the other side of it. I feel like I'm the judge here in this, the arbitrator. We're going to baseball arbitration right now.
Okay.
Pat, Nuno, you guys were disgusted at the thought of a burger with a donut bun.
Yeah, that sounds horrendous. This is just way too much. Who needs this? No, this doesn't need to exist. I don't want to try it. It's going to be sticky. It's going to be a mess. I'm just going to stick with the burger brand burger. Thanks.
Okay, here's what it is. It's a donut burger. It features, obviously, the glazed donut as the bun.
Mm-hmm.
The patty, two slices of bacon, and sharp cheddar cheese.
Okay. So no condiments on
no
it
condiment.
At all. Okay.
I mean, you could add it yourself.
You got to have a lot of water with that then. You got to have a drink to go with that. Because if there's no condiment on, you got bacon, you got cheese, you got all that, you got the hamburger meat, like the patties. Man. That's a lot. It looks fantastic. I'm just sitting there thinking, how do you dress that sucker up?
It doesn't, though. Like,
from the top rope.
Just eat a regular burger. Stop doing too much. And if you want a donut, eat a donut after that. Like, stop mixing the foods. Like,
there's nothing wrong with that, though, Nuno.
It is.
Have you ever had it?
No, because guess what? I want to live to, like, I'm a lot longer than after I would after
Do you actually
that.
Think you would die upon eating that, Nuno? Right?
I actually, as, you know, someone who's become health conscious the last couple of years, yes, if I step away from my diet, I feel disgusting, and I think I would probably die. I think I would die if I ate that.
But you know what, though? I think I would risk it all, Ev.
Me too.
For that,
I'd risk it all.
If I die
eating that, I died a happy man.
It's worth it.
I'm good. Drago.
I'm good.
If I die, I die.
I've died a happy man if I had that. It's worth it. It looks phenomenal. First of all, you had me at bacon. You had me at bacon. If you got bacon with donuts, with
two
a donut,
slices.
That's done. I'm done. But then the sharp cheddar cheese and the hamburger patty, I probably don't need to make it a double because it's doing a lot. But just
that's where you draw the line? The extra patty, not the two donuts?
That's where I draw the line, Pat. Why are you judging me? Why are you standing in judgment of my food choices?
Because it sounds bad.
It sounds amazing.
No, it doesn't.
It does. You guys are out of your mind.
Put
it
on
your mouth. I'm gonna take food advice from you guys.
Yeah.
When I'm the 300-pounder on the show, forget about it.
Yeah, and it might sound bad. It tastes great.
Please.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In or out on the donut burger?
I'm not taking food advice from skinny people. I'm just not.
All right, well, then you have to let us know if you're a skinny person prior to the call.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Basically, that's what you have to do.
You have to give your stats.
Yeah, exactly.
I think DP has that covered.
Your weight, body mass, impact, I need all of that.
What's your BMI?
Exactly.
888-SAY-ESPN is your number to jump in on the burger, donut burger, in or out on that. All right, we are in on talking about the Chiefs as a dynasty. We will do this and get your phone calls in a second. But Patrick Mahomes was a guest yesterday on the Pat McAfee show and had this about a three-peat for Kansas City.
I'm not going to be done playing anytime soon. I want my son to be able to grow up in the locker room like I grew up. So
how old
still
your
got
son?
A lot of life left. He's 1 year old. Just turned one in November. I'm going to work on getting this three-peat, man, with no three-peat ever. So we're working on that now.
CeCe's going crazy.
I didn't pick up on the son in the locker room part of it. Yeah. He's basically telling you, I'm going to be around at least another decade.
I'm not going anywhere.
Y'all might as well get real used to me being here.
He's not going anywhere.
But here's the thing, and you put that with what he said right after they won the game. We're not done yet. The dude just won a Super Bowl, went back-to-back, first team to do it in 20 years. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth, the first sentence, we're not done yet. My goodness.
That's why when we have the debate to three more or no more.
Oh, my goodness.
90% are going to agree with the three more. It's just like that.
He's hyper-focused on it, though.
I know.
That's all he wants to do is win championships. And yeah. I get it. As somebody that's won a championship, that's all you want to do once you have the parade, once you reach the mountaintop. You just want to keep getting back there. So yeah. I understand it. The only difference is he's actually doing it. He's actually doing it.
And he knows it, and he can't be stopped. His wife, Brittany Mahomes, we're showing this on the television side, posted a conversation that Patrick had on the group chat. And on January 5th, he texted his family saying, I decided we're going to win the Super Bowl. I'll see y'all in Vegas. I'm not done. So just on January 5th, he woke up and said, I decided.
And I'm not done.
And then he did it. He decided.
So you go ahead and bet against him not winning any more championships. I'm not doing it.
Doubling what he's
doing. I'm not doing it.
I decided it is nuts.
Yeah.
And then to do it.
Yeah.
Mark in North Carolina listening on ESPN Wilmington. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. Long time, first time. I just want to know what your take is on putting peanut butter on a burger. And moreover, peanut butter, since there's no condiment on that donut burger, peanut butter on that donut burger.
Interesting. Ooh.
But peanut butter is not a lubricant, though. Peanut butter is thick. It's only going to make it harder to chew it and swallow it.
I love peanut butter. I'm like cold noodles with sesame sauce at the Chinese restaurant. It's like one of my favorite meals ever. I love any kind of peanut butter sauce. I'm not a burger guy necessarily, but I think that would probably be good. Yeah. I could put peanut butter on anything.
The peanut sauce on the satays from Philippe, outstanding.
Amazing.
Outstanding.
Amazing. Chef's kiss. Chicken satay.
Yeah, but I don't know if that works though.
Yeah.
For the
Get
burger.
Stuck on the roof of your mouth.
That's what I'm saying. It's already thick.
You're forgetting that it's going to melt. So it's got that melty quality to it when it's on a hot burger. Good so it kind of
it becomes a sauce.
Yeah,
I could get down with that.
Again, it leans into the savory side of
it's
things.
It's more of a glaze.
Yeah,
peanut butter glaze.
Pat, you just hurt your own argument by giving them the melting angle on that.
Yeah,
just
what?
So you're aware of that.
I don't think so. I'm not saying it should be on the donut burger. I'm just making the case for it.
All right, Kyle in Ohio, listening on 1530 AM. What's up, Kyle?
The meltiness is absolutely the truth. If you split the glazed donut like a bagel, you actually flip it, you invert it, so the glaze is towards the burger, and it all melts, and that is the liquid.
Kyle's absolutely right. That's what they do. They make the inside of the donut the top of the bun, and they actually sear it, so it's a little grilled, like a burger bun. And then he's right. The glaze gets in with the bacon
patty. I'm done. And you don't need any condiment. That's the condiment. That's perfect.
He's
it's
right.
Have you ever seen
it? I gotta try that.
I gotta
make sure I do it when my wife's not around, because it feels like that's a problem waiting to happen, and she's not gonna approve it. But I gotta sneak try this. I gotta sneak figure
so
out how
just,
to
it was show it. Research. You just had to do it.
Nah, she ain't gonna go for that. But I gotta find a way to be able to have that.
The flipping the icing or the glaze upside down. Have you seen Anne Hathaway with her cupcake method?
Just break it in half and
cut the top off and you flip it upside down. So when you're holding the cupcake, it's almost like a cupcake sandwich.
I don't think that was her idea.
That's the first time I saw it.
Oh, really?
That hurt. You know, so like,
isn't that just a whoopie pie?
In essence, it becomes a whoopie pie, but the way she does it is I thought it was brilliant. Mark in Ohio, sitting on 100.7 in Ohio. What's up, Mark? I don't know. To me, it was
the burger is absolutely phenomenal. I've had it. You don't need any condiments because, like you guys have said, the glaze gets hot and it starts dripping into the burger. It gives you that sauce. It's like a glazed burger. It's amazing. Whoever doesn't like it, try it. It'll change your life.
Mark, real quick before you go, is the double burger too much?
Or is
I just want to know.
No, the double burger is not too much, I promise you, because after you eat it, you don't need another meal for the rest of the day.
That's okay. Right. That's right. Right. You're not going to be hungry for the rest of the day. Okay. And you're going to have to make sure that you're not far away from your bed because you will want to lay down.
Food coma.
You're going to want to lay
instantly.
Down.
Yeah.
Eric in North Carolina watching on ESPNU. What's up, Eric?
Hi, guys. Long-time listener. Hope y'all doing well. I hope you're doing well, because if you eat that, you probably won't be doing well. Speaking as a person that grew up where Krispy Kreme was founded, and I love their glazed donuts. I ate them all my life. Luckily, I'm not fat as much as I used to be. But I feel like you're desecrating the donut more than you are actually helping the burger. Mm. That's my issue, though. I feel like the donut is too good to where you got to put – and I love how Chris is his line, like they said, his line in the sand is a double part of the burger. That's where it is with the bacon and everything.
Well, that's an interesting part of this, and thank you for the phone call. Are you hurting the donut more than you're helping the burger?
No, if anything, you are showing that a donut is versatile.
That's it.
A donut, don't try to put it in a box. Don't try to compartmentalize a donut. It can absolutely be a vehicle for other things.
Who
you
needs
need to be
a,
creative?
Who needs a donut to be versatile? It's a donut.
Well, that's like saying, why does bread have to be versatile? Why do we have to make sandwiches?
No, it's not like saying that. That's crazy.
Toast?
That's not the same at all. It's a donut. You just go and eat the donut. That's all you need.
So you're saying that we should just accept toast as toast and not put anything on it? No avocado toast, no bagels, nothing.
It's a false equivalence.
Why do you start with avocado?
Because I love avocado toast.
Avocado toast is great.
It's great. Jeez.
Put some bacon in it.
Put some butter, some jelly, some grape jelly. Like, keep it normal, people.
Avocado toast is normal.
I thought you're the health conscious guy.
What
I don't
are you
know what
to
wrong with avocado toast.
Oh my God, a little lemon, a little mold and sea salt, some tomatoes, some
you're
goat
so
cheese on the top.
You're so bougie.
Bougie? It's an avocado.
So, wait a minute. So you don't think you're bougie?
Relax, Evan. I don't need Mr. Lobster every time we talk about food.
I'm saying if anyone can recognize bougie, it's me. Trust me.
We don't need your help.
I see it. It's like looking in a mirror over there with bougie-ness for me.
So we don't want the donut in a figurative box, but we do want the donut in a literal box.
In the donut box. But we can spring it loose and make it into a burger.
I love the idea of it. I got to try it.
I'm
going to
see if
there's
one in the city.
Yeah, I got to have it.
All right, coming up. A bombshell trade almost happened in the NBA that we learned about today that still maybe possibly could be revisited at some point. We'll dive into that next. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Adrian Wojnarowski and Ramona Shelburne this morning put out a big story that in the days leading up to the trade deadline, the Golden State Warriors tried to get LeBron James from the Los Angeles Lakers, so much so that the two majority governors of the team spoke about it, Joe Lacob with the Warriors, Jeannie Buss with the Lakers. And basically, according to the reporting, Jeannie Buss said to Joe Lacob, you can talk to Rich Paul about that and see if he's interested, he being LeBron James. It was shot down, but very, very juicy conversation around that. Quentin Richardson, former NBA player, Knuckleheads podcast. He joins us now to talk some hoops. Quentin, let's start there. The hypothetical of LeBron James to the Golden State Warriors. What do you make of that hypothetical that at least was discussed around the trade deadline?
Hypothetically, it would have been nuts, you know what I'm saying, to have him and Steph on the same team. I can't even imagine what that would have been like and how, you know, how that would have came together and how unfair it could have possibly been. But, you know, I didn't see LeBron leaving L.A. I still don't see him leaving L.A. But, yeah, that's a crazy scenario to just fathom at all. LeBron and Steph on the same team, that's crazy.
And, Q, that's the part I want to get into. You said you can't see LeBron leaving L.A. It seems like this is a deal that could potentially make sense for both sides with Golden State in the short term, the Lakers in the long term, assuming LeBron opts out and returns back in free agency this summer. But there's a part of me that thinks that this didn't go down because of what the perception around LeBron would have been if he defected away from the Lakers in a roster that he in large part influenced the building of to go to Golden State to win at this stage in his career. Am I wrong for looking at that as a possible influence in this situation?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I think that's a possibility, but I think right now LeBron is operating in the space all of his own. He doesn't care about the history and I don't think that's going to impact him at all. I think he's already jumped a couple teams or been to a couple different teams to where he doesn't have that, you know, that Kobe or Dirk legacy where he was at one team for 20 plus years. And I think he's rewriting it. He's playing his own script out, man. He could do whatever he wants to do. If he decides he's going to stay in L.A. or if he decides he's going to leave and go somewhere else and try and win it again, I think he's coming to that space where, you know, trying to criticize him about that is going to be – is not going to really work, especially if he goes somewhere else and tries and absolutely gets one. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be validated then.
Quentin, the Warriors reaching out to the Lakers about LeBron, obviously they're trying to extend their runway to compete for a championship. But as you look at the team right now, currently constructed 26-25, is the window for the Warriors open or closed?
I always say as long as you have that core, you know, Steph, Clay, and Draymond together, they still have a chance. And even though when they're looking up and down, man, as a former player, I know sometimes, you know, guys in a bad rhythm, just having a bad stretch or whatever. But if they get a couple pieces or if they hit a stretch or not even get a couple pieces, if they just something in the team turns, they can hit a stride and go on a run. So I never count those guys out when those three are together. But from the looks of it right now, they definitely need to make a change or have some type of infusion of energy today squad because I wouldn't pick them right now to be a championship team as they are constructed right now.
We're talking with Quentin Richardson, former NBA player, Knuckleheads podcast here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. You are sitting here on ESPNU. We're watching you. You got your Clippers jersey in the background behind you. You played there for the first few years of your career. Let's talk about that team. Is Kawhi Leonard, when healthy, the best player in the NBA?
He's definitely one of them. He's definitely absolutely, you know, in that conversation as when he's healthy, he's one of the best on either side of the ball, defensively or offensively. I don't know if it's fair to say the absolute best, but he's definitely in that conversation and he's a game changer. You've been seeing that this whole season with him being available, playing most of the games and playing a lot of minutes.
Q, what's wrong with the Milwaukee Bucks? On Monday, they smoked the Denver Nuggets at home, and then they lose in the second game of a back-to-back against the Miami Heat when they don't have Jimmy Butler, and they get obliterated by almost 30 points. Like, what is going on with the Milwaukee Bucks, and can this team contend for a championship?
I'm not absolutely sure what's going on with them, but I do think they can absolutely contend because of the talent that's there. And you see it. It's for whatever reason, it's kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde thing. Like you say, one game they may come and get blew out by the Magic or somebody, but then you turn around and they pop Denver or they pop one of the best teams in the NBA. And I think that when they can beat those teams, they show you that if we can get all on the same page and get things going in the right direction as a unit, that we can come together and win the championship. But then there's that downside to when they lose into some teams that you may not feel like they should be losing to and they look, you know, not together as a unit or, like, fragmented in some ways. Like, you doubt it. But I think, you know, when you got a team with Giannis and Dame and Middleton and the pieces they have and they have championship pedigree in their locker room and Doc Rivers is a great coach and he's going to be giving his time in this second half of the season trying to figure them out. So I think you got to watch them down the stretch. It's too hard to call on them early right now.
Q, and I want to follow up on the Doc Rivers aspect of this thing. I mean, last year they had Coach Budenholzer. Things didn't go according to plan. They got bounced early on. But do you have more confidence in a deep playoff run for the Bucks because they have Doc, or less confidence in comparison to the teams that we've seen from the Bucks in past years?
I have more confidence. I think Doc has been his pedigree has been when he has those veteran laden teams with those pieces like a Garnett, you know, and a Giannis, a Paul or a Ray, and a Rondo and a Dame, and you got Middleton, and you got guys that really know what it's about. I think it heightens his opportunity because I think it highlights his greatest aspects, his greatest things. He's a great personnel guy. He can deal with personalities and things like that. So I think this would be a great challenge for him to put his imprint on them and show his great coaching style.
Quinn, you have Minnesota and Oklahoma City sitting at the 1-2 spots in the Western Conference. How real are the T-Wolves and the Thunder right now?
Very real, man. I think we're entering that space where, you know, it always happens where teams, you know, some of the teams start to feel like they're getting older, and then you have these newer teams moving in. And I absolutely believe that Anthony Edwards is one of the premier players in this league, going to be one of those guys that's like, you know, on that Mount Rushmore for the face of the league for the next however many 10, 15 years. And then when you look at the OKC Thunder, they got so much young talent, man, led by SGA, who's an MVP candidate. And, you know, they got so many young guys that's going to be making waves and got a chance to make their way in this league. So, I mean, I look at them, absolutely. Both of those teams have contenders written all over them. They're dominating in the regular season. And, you know, when the playoffs come, it's going to be a little bit different, but they still have a chance, I feel like.
We're talking with Quinton Richardson, former NBA player, Knuckleheads podcast, available wherever podcasts are found, here on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPNU as well. How many title contenders are there right now? How many teams would you say I could see them in June winning a title? I'll give you the team. You tell me yes or no. Okay. Boston.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Cleveland.
No.
Milwaukee.
Yes.
New York.
No.
Okay. Anybody else in the East? So Philly, Indy, Miami, any other teams in the East?
I say Miami.
That's the right answer. Minnesota.
yes.
Oklahoma City.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Clippers, Nuggets, Suns, I would assume all yes, right?
Yep.
And then would you put the Lakers and the Warriors in there?
I would put the Lakers in there. I wouldn't put the Warriors in there right now.
CeCe, Lakers, you're a Lakers fan. Q just put them as a title contender.
I appreciate his confidence. I just don't share the same sentiment. I got to see more from the Lakers before I'm going to believe.
I have to see more, too. But he asked me, could I see it? I mean, my thing is, like, you have to look toward the end of the season. And I look at it like any team that has LeBron James on it, if they make the playoffs, I don't care what seed they are. If they make the playoffs and they can be healthy, they have a chance to win a championship. If AD and LeBron are healthy and they make the playoffs, I don't care if it's out of the play-in tournament or whatever. If they make the playoffs, I feel a LeBron James-led team can win a championship. He can get it going. And if the other guys come with him, they could do it.
Q, you're absolutely right. I'm just a fan, and sometimes my heartbreak gets in the way of my sober judgment when it comes to breaking these things down. So you got to understand that. But you're absolutely right. You can never discount a LeBron James-led team. But I do want to ask you about the Boston Celtics. They're 30 games over 500, best record in the NBA. First time this team has been over 500 through fewer games since 2009. They're on the eve of having to make another huge financial commitment to one of their stars in Jason Tatum. They just paid Jaylen Brown a $300 million extension. What makes this year different for Boston than in years past, and why can this season end in a championship for them?
Well, first of all, that's a foregone conclusion. They're going to back that Brinks truck up on Tatum. About $400 million, whatever it is, on here and hear the beats. I hear the beats already. They backing that up. That ain't even a question. That boy is the guy. He is the guy. But to me, I think the difference is, like, this year, Porzingis, if he can stay healthy and playing the way he's playing, he's been a game changer for them. They haven't had someone like him in those last 3 to 4 years as far as like an offensive talent and a defensive talent that could space the floor, score in the paint, and score on all three levels the way he has. But then you also look at the emergence of Derek White and what he's doing, and the addition of Drew Holiday has been unbelievable. I mean, I think they've rounded their roster out in a way that they have complementary pieces all around the board. And as long as that big three of Tatum and Brown and Porzingis show up, they in good shape against anybody in my book. They could go against whoever and have a chance.
Q, Cute, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Check out the Knuckleheads podcast wherever podcasts are found. Thanks so much.
All right, anytime. Appreciate it. Holla at you, CC.
There it is, my man.
All right, there's Quentin Richardson, of course, former NBA player at Knuckleheads podcast. Coming up, it is Valentine's Day, so we got to do it. Our top ESPN personalities, and the category is most lovable ESPN personalities. We will get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is Valentine's Day today. Per Nuno, not a holiday.
It is a holiday.
I mean, if Nuno, candy, our producer, says it's not a holiday.
If the candy changes at Target, it's a holiday.
Absolutely. When the drugstore dresses it up and they got a whole lot of specials around it with the candy that you can buy, it's a holiday.
All right, Nuno, make your case as to why it's not a holiday.
Easy.
He's so excited about that.
No, I'm just saying, do you get holiday pay for working today? No. Are you off? No. Do you get a comp day for working today? No. So guess what? It's not. It's not a holiday. It's a Wednesday. It's just a regular day of the week where you now are, society requires you to give someone flowers, a card, some chocolate-covered strawberries, whatever it may be.
Chocolate-covered strawberries. Interesting.
Nuno. Ooh.
Right?
The romantic that is Nuno. Pat, you had a question, I think, from ESPN 1000 in Chicago about this before we get to our ESPN personalities, because I don't know how Valentine's Day became such a debatable issue, but go ahead.
Are flowers a gift or are they the expectation?
Okay, I'm going to say, now, if you're going to get flowers, where are you going to go?
Books.com, baby. Promo code Canty. Let's go.
Don't mess up. Just go to Books.
Yeah.
Okay, but that did not answer the question.
Yeah, exactly. Books, great, but like flowers, yes, no?
No. I don't think it's a gift. I think it's like that's what you're supposed to do. You should do it. You should do it better than everybody else if you're going to do that. But if you're like trying to really impress someone, I think it's like here's the appetizer. Now here's the entree. But I don't know what the entree is. The entree is
jewelry.
Okay, well, I guess you know what the entree is.
Wow. I did not give my wife the entree this year.
So you need to be iced out?
She got...
Well, you're saying if you're really trying to impress someone.
If you're really trying to impress her.
That's the road I went down. Jewelry. Well, my wife. A handbag.
You didn't pause on that. You went there very quickly. Oh, yeah. Trip to the spa. Okay.
Trip to the spa is a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife is a native Chicagoan, so I got her a pair of Jordans.
Very good.
Never miss with those.
I hope you gave it to her already.
I did.
Okay, I was going to say, if this is the way she found out.
Well, I mean, she gave me my gift on Saturday, so... Yeah, it came in the mail. It got to the house on Saturday. She was like, I'm not going to wait till Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. And I loved it.
I love that by her.
I loved it.
I think that's the right move. I'm going to give you the gift. I wouldn't have to wait till the 14th for the gift. Yeah. Here's the gift.
And it's a thoughtful gift.
But we will have dinner, and there will be flowers when I show up to dinner for her.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. So the flowers are like table stakes. You have to have
an appetizer.
You have to have the flowers, but there should be something to follow up with it. If it's a nice dinner, if it's a nice gift. I'm married, so it's both. But you have to have something to follow up the flowers with.
Yeah. I think flowers could be the gift, but I would recommend pairing it with a very lovely handwritten card. The personal aspect to the flowers then makes it a gift.
See, that's my move. I do the handwritten card. I mean, I don't know if my wife can read my handwriting. That's the only problem. I'm going to need Rob, our digital guy, to do it.
Are people writing poems anymore?
If they are, I'm not one of them.
Nah, that's write I ain't a doing poem. All that. I mean, if it's a poem, I'm going to use a poem that was already written by somebody else in order to
crossing out Walt
in order
Whitman's
to perfectly
day.
Encapsulate
oh, you mean,
what you mean to me. I'll get a poem and put that in a car as written by such and such, but this is a reflection of my love for you.
So we can plagiarize
when
a poem.
When I read these words, I thought of you, my love.
Canty Allen Poe over here. Canty Hughes. I don't know if you're
Canty Whitman.
Yeah, there seriously. All right. Each and every Wednesday, we do our ESPN personality draft. We power rank ESPN personalities. Today we're going to do the most lovable ESPN personalities. Why don't we go 3, 3, and 3? Smalls, just give us your 3 right off the bat here. Most lovable ESPN personalities.
We're just ripping through the list.
Yeah, go for
it. All right, well, my first draft pick for the most lovable person here at ESPN, it has to be Damian Woody. Who doesn't love Damian Woody? He comes in studio with us once a week, and anytime Damian comes in the room, the energy shifts. We are all relaxed, we're laughing, we're having fun. He's one of the funniest and nicest people you will ever meet, Damian Woody, number one for me. Checking in at number 2, another friend who joins us in studio often, it's Jeff Saturday. Mm. How can you not love Jeff Saturday? When we talked about this earlier in the show, I said, when Jeff comes in, he makes you feel cool. He makes you feel like you're part of the crew. He'll be breaking down football and he'll be like, bro, can you believe that Kyle Shanahan did this? And I'm like, he called me bro. Like, wow, Jeff Saturday thinks I'm one of the guys. He thinks I'm a bro. And he does that with everybody. I feel like he makes everybody feel accepted, which is a lovable quality. Jeff Saturday, number 2. And number 3, it's Doris Burke. Everybody loves Doris Burke. I don't know many people have a higher approval rating at ESPN than Doris Burke does. Even Drake loves her, wears her on a shirt all the time. So Doris Burke rounds out my top 3. So we have Damian Woody, Jeff Saturday, Doris Burke.
I got no arguments on any of those.
None of those. Those are all phenomenal. I'm going with my first overall pick, Christine Lisi. On top of Lisi Trees, she actually does SportsCenter on ESPN Radio. One of the nicest people that you will ever meet, and a diehard sports fan, diehard Buffalo Bills fan. Yeah. She lives and dies with the Bills each and every Sunday during football season. But I love Christine Lisi. We had a chance to see her last week. My number one overall pick in terms of lovable people at ESPN. My number 2 overall pick, Robert Stanberry Olney III. So Buster Olney, he's awesome. I mean, just he's got those quips. He's quick-witted. He's a friend of the show. He's always chiming in on different topics. He'll DM me while we're doing them and say, hey, this is my opinion on this. And this guy loves sports, does a great job breaking down baseball. It's about to be Buster Olney season at ESPN because pitchers and catchers are reporting today. So I'm looking forward to talking to him a little bit more often. But one of my most lovable people at ESPN. And then rounding out my 3 draft picks, I've got to go with Lisa Salters. She does sideline reporting for Monday Night Football.
She's
she
great.
Does the NBA on ESPN. She is absolutely phenomenal. I have not had the pleasure of meeting Lisa Salters, but from all accounts, a really, really good person. And she does a phenomenal job. And the other thing that I appreciate about her, she is always dressed to the nines, no matter what event she is hosting. She is a phenomenal fashionista. So Lisa Salters is my 3rd pick. So there it is, my top 3 lovable people at ESPN. Christine Lisi, then we got Buster Olney, then we got Lisa Salters.
Great
love
picks.
It. All right, my 3 here. Most lovable ESPN personalities, obviously. It's like the Chiefs going into next year. You leave them to the side and you pick everybody else. So Field Yates, of course, is number 1. We leave him to the side, of course, because he's complaining that he wasn't on this list. Anyway, number 1 for me is somebody that I have not met, but I feel like I wanted her number 1 in a million different categories. She's great on TV. She's the one that told the initial Kobe Bryant story about being a girl dad. She's a great family person, great singer, entertainer, fun. Her ESPN SportsCenter commercials are great. I'm going L. Duncan, number 1 overall.
Yes.
Never met her, never talked to her. She seems like the perfect family person and friend that you could have. So I'm going L. Duncan, number 1. Number 2 is somebody I've known for, I don't know, maybe 21 years. No, more than that, actually. You know, it's like a misery loves company kind of thing. Chris Carlin. I mean, the 2 of us together are like Julian Edelman says, happily miserable. I mean, it's just, I love Carlin. You can give him a hug. You can go out to dinner with him. You can laugh with him. You can talk to him about anything noon until 3 Eastern time with Joe Fortenbaugh on ESPN.
Yeah, and Nuno loves him so much, he ditched us to go to dinner with Carlin.
Oh, Nuno loves Carlin in a way that, like, you would think that Carlin is his long-lost brother.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. The hugs that he gives Carlin. He is happier to see Carlin than any person. Wow. I think Nuno is happier to see Carlin than his family. Carlin's family and Nuno's family, for that matter. he loves Carlin. Am I wrong, Nuno?
Can't detect any lies there, Evan.
Thanks, Nuno. Okay, and my last one. What just happened there?
Can't detect any lies.
It's like I sent a live shot to Nuno covering traffic.
I think we caught them in the middle of having one of their conversations in the control room.
Yeah, they do their own show.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What happened.
All right, the last one. Yeah. I talked to a lot of young broadcasters across the country, and I can't tell you how many of them have said to me, yeah, that's great advice. Mike Breen gave me the same one. I'm like, what? All of them. Mike Breen must mentor every broadcaster in America, and that's awesome. When you're the top of the food chain, he's a Hall of Famer. There is nobody better at their job than Mike Breen, and he's helping everybody else. To me, that's lovable.
That's awesome.
Mike Breen on my list as well. So I go Al Duncan, Chris Carlin, Mike Breen.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Breen, the double bang is iconic, right? Mike Breen, double bang, it's amazing. That is one of the best calls that we've had from any sports broadcaster.
It's Valentine's Day.
It is. It's appropriate.
We're on Sportsmanlike, really, on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
yes. So we were in the association last night, and we made some money last night.
Picked up a dub.
We picked up a dub last night in the association. The T-Wolves got the win, of course. And then we're talking about Rudy Gobert having over 11.5 boards. He checked that box, so we got the dub. It was at plus 155. So we're going back to the well, back to the association. Tonight's marquee game, the L.A. Clippers visiting the Golden State Warriors, no Kawhi Leonard. So we're going to go with the Warriors on the money line, and we're going with James Harden over 19.5 points. Now, no Kawhi Leonard means more shots for James Harden. I think he's going to be a gun. We know the Warriors have that small ball lineup with Draymond Green as the center. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for James Harden to get buckets, and I think he's going to take the opportunity to do so. So, James Harden over 19.5 points, the Golden State Warriors on the money line to win, and that pays out at plus 205.
And that is the second game tonight, by the way, before we get to Unsportsmanlike Moment on ESPN. The first game is the Bulls and the Cavs. I believe Mark Jones is on the call for that tonight. Bulls and Cavs on ESPN. Mark is next up in the ESPN phone tag.
Hello.
Nuno has not accomplished that yet.
Ooh.
I didn't know if I just
are we gonna
figure out how to work that in somehow.
Be talking to him tomorrow, maybe?
Ice bath coming up. Time for the Unsportsmanlike Moment.
We survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, so last week we were all in Bristol, Connecticut, all right? And we had a wonderful team dinner on Thursday night, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thursday night. Our entire team, producers back in Bristol, and some members of Greeny's team were with us, Cam and Bubba, some of the hashtag crew. Well, Greeny, 10 to noon Eastern here on ESPN Radio, and Hembo were not there. Why? Well, they were here in New York, and they did not come with us to Bristol because of other work responsibilities. They, though, had a slight issue with some of the dinner invites.
We've sandwiched multiple times.
By the way, Bubba, this was the same date that you guys had your
show dinner to which Greeny and I were not invited. So while we were enjoying pineapple down here, you guys were, you know, eating banquet type stuff.
Sending
up in
me caprese salad pictures while I'm sitting here eating, watching a guy eat pineapple cubes with his fingers. Yeah.
My veal was delicious.
You had veal?
I did have veal Milanese.
I wish we were invited to that.
Yeah, I know. And I would, of course, I would not have gone, but I would like to be invited.
It's nice to...
Like, I can't be the only one who feels that way. This would be a good question for the audience. You know, as we work our way into the football offseason, we have more time to just sort of delve into some of these important questions in life. If there is a social event that you do not wish to attend, does it still bother you that you weren't invited?
Okay, couple of things here, because we're going to get to that part of it. Hembo is the only person in the world that would consider a night out, a dinner, banquet-style food. What is he talking about? We're not at a banquet. We're having dinner with, like, teammates, friends, whatever you want to say. Banquet-style food? That would indicate he may never have been out to dinner with other people.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
There's a chance that Hembo may never have gone to dinner with other people in his life.
Important, though, you're forgetting that Hembo doesn't care about how food tastes anyway. True. So everything is probably banquet style.
He doesn't care how food tastes?
No.
He considers food just to be fuel. So it doesn't matter how it tastes to him as long as he gets it in his stomach.
That's part one. Part two, Greeny is 1,000% right. The invite, non-invite is a very important thing in life.
So even if you're not going to go.
Yes.
You want to be invited.
But it's an important thing two ways. If you know somebody can't go to something, but they're a borderline invite, invite them. Get the credit for the invite. They're not going to go anywhere. You get the win.
But what if they change their mind?
That's the part that gets dicey.
That's happened.
That gets dicey.
Okay, that's fair. The other thing is, yes, even if you don't want to go to something, you still want to be invited. You still want, like, hey, like, if you guys are going out for drinks, I'm not a drinker, right? If you guys are going out for drinks and you say, well, we're not going to invite you because you're not going to go anyway because you don't drink, I still want the invite.
I invited you to Teeny Tuesdays.
And I went.
You came.
Did you not want me to go?
Is that I wanted you to come. Even though you didn't drink, you had a water.
I did.
But chocolate milk might have been more festive, but I invited you.
Why the hell did I not get the invite to
Florida? Because it was in Florida. It was in Florida.
Oh, okay.
Well, why didn't we get the invite to Paris?
Well, here's the thing. You were not invited on that trip.
That's just a non-invite, non-invite.
You were not invited on that trip.
Yeah, you would have been a TV Tuesday.
You were not invited on that one. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
Well, you got offended just now thinking we left you out.
Wait a minute. How can Ev get invited and I don't get invited?
CC and I were sharing wine in Bristol. I can see how he would feel in type of way.
I would feel a way about it.
You've never done the invite, non-invite? You've never invited someone knowing they're not going to go for the invite credit?
No.
So here's the difference. Greeny knew that he was in New York. So did Hembo. If Pat and Jovante and Nuno were talking during the break saying that they were going out to dinner tonight, I wouldn't expect an invite because we are in the city.
Yeah. But did we make a mistake not sending them a formal invite knowing they weren't going to go?
No.
No, because they were not going to be in the – they were quite literally in a separate state.
Yeah, they're in their feelings for no good reason.
They know that had they been in Bristol, they would have absolutely had seats at the table.
Sensitive thugs, we just need to give them hugs.
I don't want to go too behind the scenes, but Nuno, I need your help on this.
No, let's do it. Okay. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, because I know he's going to be bothered by this. Not he didn't do anything wrong, but – they were invited, weren't they?
No. They were not invited. So, because of Greeny's, you know, last week you guys came up here. Harry Douglas came up here. Carlin was here for his show. Obviously, Greeny, we weren't going to invite Greeny to do his radio show up here because he has to do Get Up. So that gets in the way, Greeny. Not because we're like, oh, like that's what it is. It's Get Up. So we keep you out of all that stuff, or at least Justin Craig does. So he doesn't invite you. It was Justin Craig.
There's a sensitivity
there. That's
our
boss.
There's a sensitivity there because I was just on Get Up with Marcus Spears, Lewis Riddick, and of course, Greeny was talking about our lovable ESPN personalities, and he had beef with the show because none of us picked him. And then I explained the rules of the game to Greeny, and I said, once somebody on the show picks you, they can't use you anymore when it comes to our best of ESPN personalities rankings.
Right. Yeah, come on, though. Greeny was going undrafted.
I already drafted Greening. He's taking offense to that.
I feel like we're setting ourselves up for, to be in a Mike Greenberg documentary. He says, I took that personally, like Jordan did. It feels like that's what we're teeing up here.
I will out-sensitive the sensitive conversation here. Why didn't I get love for drafting Greeny for the Super Bowl party that I wanted to go to? If he's upset that he didn't get drafted for Lovable, then why isn't he thrilled that I drafted him to want to go to his Super Bowl party?
By the way, that was a bad pick. Because any person who eats chicken, everything. Like, this man eats a Snickers bar with a fork and knife. Thank you. That's what that thing is.
Just
had a stroke. But, like, I'm not going to his party. Don't invite Greeny. Invite me there. If Bubba's going to be there, I don't want to be there.
Wow. If Bubba's going to. So he just took a shot at Greeny.
What has happened here?
Wait, Greeny eats a Snickers bar with a fork and a knife?
Everything. Chicken wings, burgers, anything he eats is with a fork and knife.
What is the real cause, the real root of your frustration here? Because you and Greeny have a wonderful relationship. You worked on the show for a while. You both openly really do like each other, but this has hit a nerve here with you.
No, I just think it's hypocritical. Like, you're not going to come to the show or to the dinner. You don't want to be invited. Like, I'm not going to go through this process of fake inviting you. Like, we know where we all stand on this. Like, I know you're not coming here. I know Canty wasn't going to come to Florida when we went there, even if he wasn't in Paris. Let's not do this. Hey, guys, everyone knows around here, people do happy hours or whatever. They don't invite me because guess what? They know I'm not showing up.
Why I got to catch the straight, bro? No lies detected, but why I got to catch the straight, bro? Don't bring me into this.
You got plenty
of ammo with Greeny. You ain't have to throw me under the bus, too.
Wow.
You sound like Kyle Shanahan, bro. Like, you didn't have to do that to me.
Well, you come to our third Florida trip.
Yes.
I am going to have to come to the Florida trip. I think he already booked a trip to Italy the following year. Smalls and I are going for two coming up in Florida. Wow. What the invite, non-invite has turned out. And we have information that CeCe was never coming with us to Florida, no matter what.
Wow. Oh, you guys are going to Florida? I forgot. I booked a trip to Paris.
No, he booked a trip once we booked our trip. Like, we're going to Paris. All right, fine. Greeny, coming up next. We are on to Thursday. We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.